Podcasting rule number one. Just talk to people.
Yeah.
We'll fix it in post.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week, Matt, Alex, and his son Austin help Molly and Nick decide which theme park they're going to go to in June. I also join in, and I think they're more confused at the end than when we started.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Yay, me.
And we are joined by returning guest, friend of the show, Matt Alex.
I think this is my fourth time. I'm a four-peat.
Yeah.
You're a four-peat.
Yeah.
Four-peat. Watch out, Ron Bauman.
You stole my thunder. That's what I was going with that. I love you, Ron, but I'm gunning for you.
We've also got Matt's son, Aiden.
Austin.
That was adorable.
Why did I say Aiden?
I don't know.
We know Aiden
is a dog.
I don't know.
School him, Austin.
It's an A name. What do I know?
To be fair, most likely, if you've ever seen me refer to the boy in stage or print, it is just the boy.
The boy.
I just realized I did in my description of it.
Yes.
So, yeah. Austin is rarely referred to by name and things. I just call him the boy, which I actually do in real life, too. So.
Yeah. So, and that's all right. I get my own children's names wrong. So it's completely...
it's alliterative. You got that right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Austin. Austin. I'm going to say it wrong so many times, Austin. I'm sorry. All right. So
Atticus?
Atticus?
Let's go with a few. What else?
Agamemnon.
Oh, nice. So we are going to talk about Disney World.
And
Universal Studios.
I feel like Tim has tipped his hat early.
I know, right?
We're talking about Orlando theme parks. What we're trying to do is convince Molly and Nick which Orlando theme park they should visit.
All right, so up front, I tell you, we're going to Florida. We're going to be in Florida for 5 days, which we have to spend with family. One of those days...
You get to have fun.
My mother's not very happy about it, but one of those days, we're driving from Naples to Orlando, spending a day at the park, whatever park we choose, and then driving back. It's a 3-hour drive, so it's 6 hours round trip.
Perfect.
So just so you know, that's keep in mind, we can be there from open to close, one of these parks, and we're going to do a park hopper pass.
Sure.
So we will see all of there is to see for the one.
You will see as much as you're capable of seeing.
Right, right.
We can't do Disney and Universal, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be one densely packed fun day.
It's going to be so much goddamn fun.
But it's just one day.
Yeah.
So I think there are two options.
Mm-hmm.
There is the Universal Studios option. And there is the Disney World option.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to start by saying I think they're both good options, but today, Matt is playing Team Universal Studios.
I think I've been defaulted to that.
And
I will point out that in the interest of, like, full disclosure, my thing is always por que no los dos. Like, my son and I were down there last week, and we did all four Disney parks and both Universal parks. We were there for 7 days and did everything.
Did you have fun? Austin, did you like it?
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's not an option for the Glovers.
I would hate to make this choice myself.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do the best we can.
I'm gonna be Team Disney World.
Okay.
And you're gonna be Team Universal Studios.
And Austin's team.
Austin,
you tell us what you think was the best part of each one, okay?
Well, you don't even necessarily have to be pro Universal, Matt. Just Team Devil's Advocate.
That's fair.
So the first thing I'm going to ask before we get too far, when are you going?
June. It will be. I believe it will be like June 8th.
Oh my god!
It's a Monday.
What's a Monday?
Monday is helpful.
It's like the last week before my summer semester starts.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it is.
But just the month gives you enough.
So,
June 6th.
Because we're recording this, we went the final day or two of January and the first week of February, which is literally as slow as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why we went then.
Right.
Because my family's done this enough times to go, we're not fucking around.
I'm guessing June and August are the busiest.
June and August, you're going to be there.
Christmas is terrible too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be there with a not insignificant percentage of the rest of the United States of America.
Yes. Most
people that you hate are going
to
be.
And you have to remember, too, that this is Valley Fair to people that live in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just their local theme park, just like Disneyland is the
and
local theme park.
And I
want to
make sure we stress
California,
people who live in Florida.
Right. But so what that does mean, though, is that if kids are off school, they may just be there to hang out for the day.
Florida
so that
kids.
They can go, like, walk around and make out with their girlfriend or boyfriend. Like, right. There is that,
and
too.
Do bath salts. Or so is my understanding.
Presumably bath salts. Yeah.
So Matt, I have things to say about Universal Studios that are negative, but I think we need to start with the positive.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Okay.
Well, let's start with the positive. What are the... You, in your mind, the real plus is if they've got a day, and this is mostly for Nick and Molly. I mean, different people have different desires, have different
different fulfillments for what they want. Yeah.
Should we really talk about like what we like and don't like?
Ooh, yeah. Let's set up like expectations.
So, like, this is like a completely different structure from
the
regular
podcast. This is so good. I love this. Freaking,
even if I wasn't a big fat guy, I'm not a big rides person.
Mm-hmm.
I think rides are all right. I am incredibly cynical about two joyful things, and that's fireworks and rides.
Okay. I tend to agree.
I have made my peace with the fact that I've married a man who doesn't do rides. I used to love Valley Fair and things, but I don't go anymore.
And even if I do like rides, I like spinny rides, which she cannot abide.
I can't even look over my own shoulder. I can't even look over my own shoulder without getting dizzy. So, I love roller coasters. Nick literally has fitting requirements in these instances. I enjoy looking at stuff. I love Epcot. We both love Marvel.
Yeah.
We both love Harry Potter.
And movies.
I love Harry Potter more than him, but we both like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Fantasy, fantastical, sci-fi is good, sci-fi and fantasy, but we're not going to have a lot of money, so we're not going to be just buying a lot of shit or spending a lot of money on just
I would say,
stuff like souvenirs.
The Disney properties that are like the mouse and associated properties... I don't really care about.
Less interesting.
Except Star Wars.
The traditional Disney cartoon properties. I really don't give a fuck about the core Disney stuff. I like what Disney does that's the fantastic.
Okay. Right.
That's what I like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, I mean, Star Wars and Marvel.
I appreciate the grand spectacle of Disney World more than the... I'm not, like, into the Disney princesses in a certain movie or anything. I like them all very much. But there's nothing that I know of that's going on in either of these parks where I'm, like, a super fan of it in that sense. Unless it's Marvel, which, obviously, we are Marvel super fans.
Okay. Right.
All right. There we are.
All right. So, I will start with a few positive things about Disney World. Matt, you start with it. That fit.
Okay,
into,
sure.
Okay, yeah. So here's the first thing that I'll say about the roller coasters at Disney World that I know for a fact, which is Nick can ride every single one of them. Disney World is exceptionally good at making all of their rides accessible to basically every shape and size of human
being. Yeah, my dad being my height but 100 pounds heavier, and also all torso. Which is weird, because all my heights and my legs, which usually doesn't matter, it just means my knees are uncomfortable in a ride. My dad, those things that come down over your shoulders, he couldn't do Harry Potter at Universal, not because he's too big, but because he's too tall.
They hit him in the shoulders and stop.
Yeah, like, it couldn't come down. It just hit his shoulders right away. And so like, the accommodations thing is definitely a point in the Disney park's favor. And again, this comes down to the idea of roller coasters, rides, etc. This is a point my dad has made since I was a young child that I now can't help but adopt, is Disney is very, very low on what we would call rides or roller coasters. They're very high on what my dad likes to call attractions.
Yes.
You go on a thing and it moves you through it.
Right.
But that is not the point. The point is to let you see shit.
Yes.
Animatronic stuff.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. Now it's a lot of 3D. That's changed.
Imagineers.
To be clear, Disney has some kick-ass roller coasters.
They absolutely do.
Yeah. Universal has better ones.
Did you have Austin, was there a roller coaster you liked at Disney World?
There was the Aerosmith.
The Aerosmith one at Hollywood Studios.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I love
fucking
the Aerosmith
amazing.
One.
And the
hard.
Everest one that you both loved and were terrified by, which is pretty great.
That's a good roller. If it scares you so bad that you want to cry,
that's
a good roller coaster.
That one goes backwards.
Everest is awesome,
which is
because
amazing.
It goes backwards.
Yeah, that
for
is.
A while.
It is so good.
It goes it doesn't go backwards. It goes backwards in the dark.
Like full the Maelstrom speed. Ride at Epcot.
It makes your balls just rise up into your throat.
Currently and may still be depending. I think on the time you go there is closed because it's gonna become a frozen ride.
I think by summer it's supposed to be open. I think by summer it's supposed to be
maybe.
So there's that. There is that I'm going
to
say...
Oh, we should boil that down to accommodation and attractions, is, I think, definitely in Disney World column.
Yeah.
Rides and roller coasters, I think, is firmly in Universal.
Absolutely Universal Studios.
They have amazing coasters.
The problem is...
Hulk is down, though, until later in 2016.
Yeah, and Hulk is one of the biggest kick-ass... It's a kick-ass coaster. Yeah. But here's the thing. I went to Universal Studios with Christopher Jones, our friend Christopher Jones. He has a similar body type to you, Nick. He couldn't ride any of the coasters at Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single one of them. They were all built, and it's because he had a long torso and was a big guy.
Yep. Right.
That's I would say that's you are roughly the same shape enough that it's
Chris Jones plus height.
Close enough that if there's a problem for him, it's a pretty fair bet.
It could be a concern for you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The other thing that I think goes in Disney's favor is they do have Star Tours, which is a fucking awesome ride if you're a Star Wars fan.
It is not as awesome as the last time I was there.
I disagree, because now it has Force Awakens scenes on it.
Now it is only Force Awakens scenes.
What? Is it just Force
Awakens? It does not shuffle.
It doesn't shuffle?
Right. We did it twice, and it was the exact same thing.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yes,
okay.
Because I was...
Ticks it back into the negative.
If we can super geek out on this. Okay, so the Star Tours ride has been around since the 90s.
Yeah.
And what that was you were on a thing, and you accidentally had your shitty little tour that was supposed to take you through Endor, and it got sidetracked, and you went and did a run on the Death Star, and blah, blah, blah. Great. One of those, like, mystery minecart motion rides.
Yeah,
really, really good, really fun. But you've seen it a couple times, you've seen it. And then they remodeled it, and they had, I believe it was 30 different vignettes, and you got a random roulette wheel of three
four,
of them.
Four.
Was it four?
Four. Four. There's an each opener, time you, oh, the opener, and right, two middles. Yes.
And so you got a roulette wheel to make a different experience, and we didn't realize that the time we went 3 years ago, but Austin and I went on a second time, and it was a totally different ride.
Awesome.
And it blew our minds, and we might have spent our day very differently
had
we known that. And we were like, oh my God, and then we went this time. And it was like, this is all Force Awakens stuff. Really cool. And then we went again, and it was exactly the same. The only difference was the opener.
Okay.
Could that have been coincidence?
It could have been utterly ridiculous luck, but it's
or they didn't.
It seems very narratively strong.
Or they don't
though.
Have as many Force Awakens segments.
But they can't possibly.
It could be because the movie's out and they want.
I'm assuming
it's
to pimp the movie.
Yeah. I went before Force Awakens came out, and there was there was definitely a Force Awakens segment. It was
What time of year was it?
It was. We went in November.
So just before the movie.
So they might have been unwilling to give away too much.
But it was what's Rey's home planet? The
Jakku.
Well, so that's where she lives.
Yeah, it was Jakku. So you flew through like an old Star Destroyer hull.
Mm.
And I did that as well.
But you also did some other stuff that wasn't. So I don't know how it's going to be.
So okay, now you're right. There is the possibility, however unlikely, that coin flip landed the same direction. You know, that one in a million shot,
or even that they have increased the frequency of that particular vignette's.
It could be weighted.
Occurrence,
it could be
because people were complaining that they didn't get the Force Awakens.
Yeah, they want more Force Awakens.
But do your own research, folks.
By June, it could be.
I would love to see that mix the classic and the... Honestly, even the prequels. You're dropped into a pod race.
No, which, that's too bad.
Don't get me wrong. Yippee! That movie's dumb as fuck, but... That if
the
you're
pod
doing
race
a,
is pretty cool.
It looks great if you're in the thing
it
and
was
moving.
One of the best parts
it is
of that movie.
Really great. Yeah, so like if you did that and then you did speeder bikes on Endor
and did
the Death Star run, that's a good ride. Like that is really, really
and
good.
So the ride is both... screen like virtual reality type thing, but also a moving ride.
Yeah, you're in a room that is on high
simulator. You're in a flight simulator.
A lot of the Disney, so from what I remember, a lot of the Disney attractions as rides, as you might think, are like you are in a big flat almost cart that is taking you through a lot of different rooms where things are happening. And
that is the current model.
That is the dinosaur one
and Universal,
you know, and things like that. Yeah. So it's not so much that it's a ride as it is you're being carted through different rooms so you don't have to walk on your own two legs.
So there's the Star Wars thing that I'll say is a big thing. Also, right next to Star Wars is the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. Not a ride, but one of the best effing attractions in terms
of a
show.
It is a live stunt show.
You sit there and they do scenes from Raiders of the Lost Ark. lies.
Stealing the idol, but, giant ball.
But they're setting it all up as these are stunt shows. This is a stunt that we're doing for the movie. So, you know, it's kind of like a fictionalized
film set.
It's super cool.
Twice my dad now has been one of the volunteers.
Awesome.
Because he is the guy that is like, I have no shame and I will wave like an
That's
idiot.
Me! That's so me! Like,
yeah.
You've got a good chance.
It is really fun to get up there on stage and run around in a turban.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a good chance. Cool. So then the two other things that I'm going to say in Disney's favor. Number one, the people who work at Disney are freaking amazing.
They're contractually amazing.
There's a palpable difference in the employees.
It's like the people at Universal are cranky because they didn't get employed at Disney.
Which is why they didn't get employed at Disney.
And the final thing that I'm going to say, and this I think is a big deal given the time of year you are going.
Yeah.
The queuing areas at Disney are amazing. And it means that if you're stuck in a line for a long time, there's something to look at.
That is true. That is something I remember from my trips to Disney World is that they actually make it so that the queues have stuff to look at and are almost usually like another world. Attraction. Yeah.
And it often even has games and stuff now.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They're doing a lot more adding games.
We will be doing the Fast Pass.
We'll talk about that because you have to decide soon.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask a question about Disney. You were mentioning the people that work there. Something I actually really like at parks, even just our shitty like Valley Fair parks, mm-hmm. I like the street character stuff.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that I've seen like a lot of memes of the Disney characters, like the guy playing Gaston doing push-up contests with kids.
That's so good.
Stuff like that. Like, I've heard, is it true that they're just pretty stellar and amazing at what they do as
they
street characters?
I will say, if you're going to, and standing in line for characters is not something I ever get into.
I wouldn't wait in
and
line.
And you would never.
Yeah, we don't have kids.
You also don't have time.
But, and I also don't need,
got a day,
I don't need the autograph of a guy pretending to get
for everything you can do to get
the best characters to interact with are the villains by far.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, because villains are the best characters.
Yeah.
Who did you meet that you liked?
Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Oh. Beetlejuice was
although
awesome.
That's a Universal.
Yeah. It was Universal. But that dude was great.
Yeah.
I think I posted a picture of the two of us.
Yeah.
You did.
But that guy had the voice.
That's great.
And even like the slang and the mannerisms. And it was just like, we were sitting there, he was just sitting on a garbage can. And I was like, oh, okay, we're brethren. And
yeah.
He was sitting on a garbage can. And we happened to be down there during, actually, I texted Wallen. Because I was like, what the hell is with all these girls that are like, somehow made up oddly and wearing that. And she goes, it's National Dance Competition Week, and they do that in Orlando.
Yeah.
Oh. And so they were dance teams. So
they had the whore makeup and their hair scraped back.
Kind of. They were like off duty, but like hadn't really showered.
Yep.
And,
so, no. Yeah. They had really high ponytail.
It's just like, and, you know, that like Cruella DeVille, like,
yep.
Not Cruella, she has the long hair, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
totally.
The really like, and,
Chav.
But there were people just like walk around in these herds and would get in line and be like, crap. Like, even the Fast Pass line now has 60 people in it.
Yeah.
And they're all Twittering, selfieing, and all that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they're all nice. Like, they're fine.
Sure,
but it's just like, damn it. Like, this should have been faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but, so we, you know, we went and did that, and the, watching Beetlejuice interact with a herd of 40 dancers was amazing. Because it was exactly what you'd expect having seen the movie. And then the guy was just rattling stuff. And so, like, I'm like, awesome, we're getting pictured with Beetlejuice. And so, and then we walk up, and he's doing that. And I go, we're waiting until Beetlejuice is done harassing these girls, because this is amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, we got done, got our photo, and he's, all right, no problem, boss. And, like, off we walk. I'm like, yes!
When I was a kid, I really wanted to work at a Disney park. Like, the first time I went, when I was, like, 10 or 11, and I was like, I want to do this for a job. Mm-hmm. And then I went again at 17. I was like, I seriously want to do this for a job, but I don't want to live in Florida.
My understanding is it can be a really tough job. But one thing along the street performer thing, MGM Studios. No, it's not. It's
Hollywood
now Hollywood Studios. They started as MGM.
Is this still Disney?
Still Disney Parks. Yes. Yeah.
But,
I get it wrong.
Hollywood Studios has a bunch of street performers that just do like improv stuff on the street.
You posted a picture of that.
Yeah. Well,
no, that was Universal.
Oh.
Austin and I were in line for, it was either Tower of Terror or the Aerosmith coaster. My dad was, you know, my parents were both like nearly dead. So they're in like scooters. My mom was in the hospital the whole time we're down there.
Oh, no.
And blood clot, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She's alive still.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's good.
Thank goodness for that.
But the street performers.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, like, dad was like, you know what? I'm 60-something, however old he is. And he's like, I've been on enough roller coasters. You guys go have fun. I'll go do a thing. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he, you know, was chilling, checking out. He loves street performers and that kind of thing. My dad has the utmost respect for theater because it is so foreign to him. So he's just baffled with, like, all the stuff that we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so we got done with our ride, and he comes up and he goes, Manny, I swear, I saw a show you would do here. And I go, what? And he goes, like, six people just all of a sudden, like, ran out of a door somewhere into a thick crowd of people. And they went, you, sir. What's your favorite sport? And the guy goes, football. I go, 185 footballs, walk into a bar. And he goes, I watched it for like 10 minutes. And they just did it. And like, not all of them were perfect, but they just did it. And like, they did a couple other things. And he goes, I think I've seen you do all of them. And then they just went, all right. And they ran away. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Yeah. And he goes, you could do that. And I'm like, I can't. But like, I have tattoos and a mohawk and a shitty attitude. But I love the idea. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. And like, he had that moment of like, bam. The one you saw a picture of was at Universal Studios. Which is a little more polished, which was, they have Universal Studios, the original park, has little chunks that are set up like, there's a New York, a San Francisco, yeah. and an Amityville. Oh, there used to be an Amityville. Now that's, Jaws is gone, and it's now the Fear Factor lot. Yeah. But.
Jaws is gone? What the fuck?
Jaws
Don't go
is
to
gone.
Universal.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, because that's the only ride that's ever scared me.
It is, yeah, that bummed me out huge, because I was like.
I'm sorry, right
I've
now.
Seen Jaws.
Right now, I can no longer defend
no, the Jaws
you.
Ride,
I was,
though.
I've been
oh,
on
okay.
the Jaws ride.
Okay.
When I was
super
like
excited
14,
to take the boy to Jaws, and they didn't have it. That's, that corner that is, of the park now is like some big stadium for Fear Factor Live.
Somebody, whoever did that should be fired.
Well, in fact, it was Jaws, the ride was in Sharknado 3.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a real quick change.
And there's still parts of Sharknado.
Yeah.
Movies in there.
We went to at least two spots that are shown in the film and took photos because, sure, you know. But yeah, there is no Jaws ride, so that bums up. But so you had, you used to have like New York, San Francisco, and Amity. So if you get to the San Francisco part, they have a fish market set up along a little dock around the lagoon.
Fish?
Fish.
Not which, real fish.
Okay, because you know. That's... because like, I went to San Francisco once and it was fucking awful. And Seattle too, because I... No, thank you, fish market. Like, it's
But they had... so what we were... What the thing you saw a photo of was they had a crew of probably six plus host. And what they did was do a... We're all working at this fish market. You should come be excited by the fact that we exist and come spend your money here. Wink, wink. And therefore, they would juggle fish, i.e. clubs. And they would do tumbling. And they would do, like really amazing stuff that was somewhere, for those of you that have heard enough Rennies on this show or, like, heard us talk about it, something between, like, Fondazzi, Danger Committee, and Toil and Tumble.
Okay.
It's kind of a mixture of all
that. Circus folk.
So more...
Filtered through this wink wink fish thing, even though there's not an actual fish being used.
So, more
10 minutes
like,
in and out.
More like Hot Valley Fair, all of a sudden it'll be like a bunch of kind of a polished act will show up with music and they're doing like a whole thing on a stage as opposed to like an actual improv group coming out
of
the
door. This is definitely like,
and,
not only rehearsed, but like, there were things set out so you could have a trampoline to jump on, do two flips, land on a rope or a guy's shoulders, and then juggle with someone else and someone
else's
shoulders.
Act.
Really good variety.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
And top-notch variety.
And really good. Hollywood Studios has like people that are, because it's supposed to be a studio. So
it's
usually
very,
it's like somebody 30s, will show up and they're like a director and they've got a starlet with them and they'll do a little thing where they get the audience to help them put together a
also
scene.
Good.
They have a pretend Walk of Fame, right? Or whatever with the stars?
In front of the Chinese theater where they do
the Chinese theater,
ride.
They have like people that
there's a very small one.
There's a very small one.
Less hobo.
Here's the sad story. We went there for our honeymoon. A while ago.
That is a sad story. Sorry.
We went there for our honeymoon a while ago, and one of the handprints that they have in front of there is Jim Henson's, and he died when we were on our honeymoon at MGM Studios.
Oh,
what
my
did
God.
You do?
So, Tim put his hand in there and was like,
I wish I
could be Jim Henson,
and
then
like,
he died of cancer. You gave Jim Henson cancer.
We killed Jim Henson, yeah. There's like Alan Alda did a nose print, and anyway, it's kind of cool.
What?
It's cute.
I love Alan Alda. So, I had the serious hots for him when I was a kid.
All right, so I have talked about things that I think are positives about Disney World for you.
All right,
so
Matt?
Now, Matt, you are
Properties,
Team Universal.
I think is the thing that might be interesting because the things people have the rights to.
Properties is what made us excited when you were talking about, I will say, what made us, we were all Disney.
Yeah.
And then we saw Matt's trip, and what made us waver was specifically Marvel Adventure Island.
I mean,
okay.
That I want to manage expectations.
Yeah,
right.
You really need to.
You have to. Because the thing is, like, yes, they do have oddly, Universal has the Marvel park, despite Disney weird. Owning
it. Yeah. Because their contract hasn't expired.
They've had it forever. Yeah. But so, yeah, there will be a weirdness there at some point, mark my words. But, like, what you have is you have this chunk, and one of the things I love about it is the moment you walk into it, you are get this blaring 80s rock metal that it just permeates the island. Ooh. That is supposed to be, like, comic book exciting music. And it warms my heart. Because it is so cheesy.
Like, beep, beep, beep.
No, just like, beep, 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 but it's like kind of a synth guitar.
All I can think of is like the X-Men animated series.
There's a lot of Wheatley
title song.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
And so, but what you get there, really, if you boil it down, is you get, there's an arcade, a couple food places, and
money.
Two or three stores to buy comic books, statues. And when I say statues, I mean, you can buy a full-size Chris Hemsworth in Thor.
Yeah.
If you want to spend $6,000, can do that.
How many holes does it have?
Exactly.
I'm just very asking for a question. Friend.
Yeah.
His name is Timmy Iverson.
They do have amazing, amazing stuff. Like, Austin and I walked through, I think, two or three shops, right, buddy? Trying to find a Doctor Doom something to bring back for Nick. And they are real light on villains.
Yeah.
They're playing towards kids, and kids tend to like the heroes.
Sure.
But the fact that you can go into a store and they have a Hulk statue and you're like, that is the coolest Hulk statue I've ever seen. And then 10 feet away, the coolest Gray Hulk statue you've ever seen.
Yeah,
and then 10 feet farther, the coolest Joe Fixit statue you've ever seen. And 10 feet from that, they're the coolest Red Hulk statue you've ever seen.
But like,
and you're like,
all that shit is available online if I wanted to buy a statue. But, like, and I'm not going to a theme park to buy it.
But for me, who will never own any of these things or shop for them, being able to at least look at them in a room like a museum and be like, ooh.
Mm. Right?
And just admire them. That's neat. However, the parts that actually matter if you're just Joe theme park is the Marvel Island, I think, really boils down to the Spider-Man ride. That was...
Which we probably can't ride.
If you have trouble with
dizziness... No, that's not a roller coaster. You should be able to ride it. Chris could ride that.
You can both be on it. It spins like a motherfucker.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would go nuts. Yeah, you'd lose your shit.
Yeah.
But it is...
I don't spin in a circle. Like, I just want to make sure you understand. I don't like if someone picks me up and spins me in a once-around circle as a greeting.
Yeah, that's going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
I have a real problem with spinny go pukey rides myself. Now, that one didn't bother me because a couple of spins doesn't bother me.
How do you feel on a merry-go-round?
Like a playground merry-go-round?
Yeah.
Or like, are you talking like a carousel? Like
either way.
That's fine.
Nope.
Don't.
Yeah, all right.
When I went there, I don't know, 12
it's like a
years
day
ago with,
for me.
Yeah, when I went there like 12 years ago with my second wife, Chris, she is motion sickness sensitive.
Yep.
We did that early in the day and she was out for the day.
Yep, that's like, exactly it.
And one of the reasons that I will maintain, and we may get to this later, that the greatest theme park ride that exists currently is the old Harry Potter ride. Is that has perfected the Spider-Man ride, which was the first one I had done where the ride moved around and spun you around all that, but you also had, it would slam you up against these screens that then interacted with your car as though the person is standing on the hood of your car. And it was an amazing thing that from not the 90s, probably the early 2000s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Give or take?
Yeah.
I think it might have been my first wife and I were the first people to see that. So it would have been 2002, maybe.
Yeah.
Blew my fucking mind. I was like, holy shit, this is next level theme park rides.
Mm-hmm.
But it is rough. You get tumbled around.
Isn't it 3D?
A little spinny. It is 3D, which is a knock against it. You know, years later when I went back and they'd opened the Harry Potter thing, and this is the old one, which is an Islands of Adventure, which is not the older park, which is tricky.
Because there's two Harry Potter islands.
There are now. Yeah. And so the old one, which is an Islands of Adventure, has Hogsmeade and Hogwarts. And then there's a little roller coaster that actually Austin and I went on twice because it was dope. And
is that the one that used to be the double?
That's still there.
One?
There's another one too. There's a smaller one that's like,
yeah, I know. I saw that one.
Let's not go there. Let's go to the good one. Harry Potter island.
Right?
I know. These are the good Denny's problems. Yeah. Good.
No, go. Yeah.
All right. I love that the boy is better at podcasting than me.
Yeah.
But the original Harry Potter ride is a ridiculous level of movement in actual physical space. No 3D, but a screen the size... Well, I shouldn't say the size, but it envelopes your visual field the way that Soarin' in Epcot does.
Yeah.
So that you are 100% only able to see what they're presenting you.
Like IMAX, kind of, like real IMAX. Like,
Planetarium
style. You can't
see
some shit that isn't...
And
yeah.
So what it does is it takes away the idea of 3D doesn't work for me, which it rarely does.
Mm-hmm.
And just overwhelms your senses by giving you your full field of vision being this false reality and the movements of the thing. Plus, in between that, you might go from watching a screen to being pulled away 4 feet later, and there is a 20-foot tall Dementor.
Yeah, which is fucking cool.
It's an actual animatronic
I'm
Dementor.
The Harry Potter ride
it is
the Harry
so
Potter
good.
Ride is fucking amazing. I love that ride.
That is the perfect iteration of the what I think starts in the Spider-Man.
How much money would you say it would cost? Because, okay, so the thing is, we have saved up money to be able to afford these tickets, and we've saved up a little bit of other money to be able to, you know, spend some money and have fun for a day. But obviously, Nick's in school. Sure. I don't make a lot of work, you know, in the board game industry. Real life, for the Harry Potter stuff, how much of it was you spend money to have fun, like getting butterbeer and seeing the wands and all the shops and stuff?
We spent $8 getting butterbeer. The rest of it is included in admission.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can do most.
I don't
of
buy
it.
Shit at a theme park.
I did not. I've seen the original Hogsmeade Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I didn't the new Diagon Alley thing.
Diagon Alley was lackluster, and then we went a second time and found all the extra parts we hadn't found.
Oh. Mm.
That was really interesting.
Is it all hidden?
Parts of it, I think, are legitimately hidden.
That's kind of cool.
Because that's the one that we went to that had Gringotts. Remember the bank vault with the big dragon in the building?
Yeah.
Was that a ride? Or
yes.
Oh, okay.
There is a new Harry Potter ride.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, like, the, where the bad guys live in Harry Potter?
Nocturne Alley?
Yeah.
Right?
If you go, like, to the very back of, like, the Harry Potter kingdom, whatever you call it, if you make, like, a left turn, there's a downer rail to that alley, and there's like literally water sprays that will spray you.
What?
We That's honestly, super it cool. looks like a thing where you would see a guy pushing like a dumpster barrel.
Yeah.
And it's past the bathrooms, past the everything, and there's just like a alleyway. And I was like, wait, does that keep going or no? And I looked and I was like, I can't tell if we can go here.
You don't want to lose the boy.
Right, but no, it's just like, I don't know if we can walk here. And then there's, like, a little sign about, you know, a foot by 8 inches that's just, like, Nocturne Alley. And I'm like, I guess that makes this the place, because I didn't recognize the name.
Yeah.
I've seen Harry Potter.
Sure.
And I was like, I think we can go here. Let's walk down here. And you go, and you walk down 30 yards of pitch dark, you know, black concrete, whatever. And then you come around the corner at the bottom of that, and it is, everything is just spooky-ass cobwebs, stores, horrible things, potions, cauldrons, whatever, and everything you walk into has spiders and poisons and skulls and whatever.
Like Nocturne Alley.
What the fuck is this? Like, we were here yesterday, and this thing is nearly the size of the thing
That's
we looked at,
really
and we
cool.
didn't even notice it existed because we hadn't looked at this tiny little corner and assumed I can go there.
That's really cool.
And we figured out there are, I think, two or three places to get into it. And once we knew it was there, it was like, oh, you could go between these two shops. And that would get you there as well. Or if you go right at the beginning,
That's
if you had
really
just
neat.
Gone the wrong way.
Which it feels like a secret,
it feels
like shady.
It feels like
a new. Is that the new Harry Potter Island?
That's the newer part, yeah.
I wonder, so here's the thing, and this is something that I've been considering. Because really what we want to do is we want to go to, if we went to Disney, and obviously we're not going to be going to see everything, I wonder if we would have time to, we're not going to Animal Kingdom, and we probably wouldn't spend a lot of time at Magic Kingdom, a little bit, but more of our time would be Epcot and probably the Hollywood Studios.
I would say if I were you, I would focus on those two.
If we had time to do those and also go to the one that had the new Harry Potter Island, I wonder if we'd have time to do both. How far apart are the parks?
They're pretty far. I think it's more like 40 minutes to get from one to the other.
If you go on a train,
is there a train?
No, you're thinking between the two universes.
Oh yeah,
I'm talking about driving from one to the other. Here's the problem that you're going to have. You're going to be at really high crowd time,
right? Yeah. So
which
parking
means that
and
it's
going
to take forever to do anything at either park.
You're going
to
have difficulty doing two Disney parks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Because of travel,
and that's just unfortunately the reality of when you're going to be there. So
the advantage there, because you can do a monorail from Magic Kingdom to Epcot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can't go from Hollywood to Epcot.
You can walk or take a boat.
That's right. They have that. Okay.
Yeah, and actually, I usually walk because the boat is so fucking slow.
That actually
is it's like a 20-minute walk or a 30-minute
boat. Well, the nice thing
ride.
About it is it's June, so part of us, I mean, that's around the time that we're trying to get ourselves walking a lot more because it's getting ready for Fest.
Yeah.
And,
okay, no,
and
that
at
actually,
Fest, we walk 14 miles a day.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get ourselves, you know.
That works more in the Disney favor than I thought, because I thought that was where you'd have to go out and either shuttle or drive, and that wastes a ton of time.
Here's what I'm going to say is a positive for Universal. The first time we went to Universal Studios, we nicknamed it Islands of Wet Underwear. And the reason we nicknamed it that is because every ride at that entire goddamn park gets you wet. And not just a little bit wet. It gets you drenched. You know the
By which
wave,
means three.
You know the Wave at Valley. You know the Wave at Valley Fair.
Yeah.
Okay, which gets you super wet.
Yeah.
Okay, they've got a Jurassic Park ride that's basically the Wave at Valley Fair, except it somehow gets you even wetter ride does.
I don't remember there being a lot of water in Jurassic
Park. Well, you're going through a boat. It's a log flume Jurassic Park wise.
Sure. Okay.
It has nothing to do with the story. It just has to do with their means of
locomotion. They have a log flume ride that gets you the wettest of any ride.
So you're positive about Adventure about Universal is that all the rides get you wet?
Yeah.
That's your positive.
Disagree entirely.
I'm not a big fan of being wet
just in the general times.
No, but that is also not a thing. Like, there is the
Jurassic... get drenched and walk a lot. Awesome. I love being chafed on vacation.
That's what, they've got a ride in the Dr. Seuss Land, which, by the way, is amazing. I love it because it's so cool.
See, I never do the rides there.
Oh, but I'm not even talking about the rides. I'm just talking about it looks amazing.
It looks amazing, but yeah.
Yeah, the rides are actually pretty lame, but there's a One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish ride, which is basically their version of the Dumbo ride at Disney.
Yeah.
Right? Disney. So you get into it, you ride it, it goes around in circles, you can go up and down, and all around the perimeter, there are squirt guns. People can put quarters in to squirt you while you're riding the ride.
That is pretty great.
Now, see, I would enjoy squirting strangers with squirt guns.
This is my point, no matter what the ride is, they find a way to incorporate water.
Profit from friendly malice. That's great.
Yeah. You're going to be there in June, so I actually consider that something of a positive.
Because you'll drive
except it's June in Florida. Florida, which
Swamp
is
pants.
So humid and so sweaty. We're already going to be wet.
But here's the negative. Yeah. And I mean, the Harry Potter Land, I think, is amazing in terms of the design. It is beautiful. Hogwarts, the ride Hogwarts, they built it with this amazing...
The castle is astounding.
This amazing
horse
perspective.
It's really cool.
It's the one queue at Universal Studios that
really does it. And the Diagon Alley one for the probably. Gringotts is also... You walk through and they have all the tellers or animatronic gnomes or whatever they are.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there like scribbling away with their things. Every time they look up at you with disstain and go back to it.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then you go down into a thing.
Those are the two rides where they've actually managed to make...
They really do. They're getting better.
A decent, as good as Disney. All right. So they're amazing rides. But the thing that they do there that's going to be hell in June is they build everything super, super tight, which means I've been there in low season and felt crowded by people all the time. My understanding is during high season, because I mean, like the alleys that they build are really small. And the crowds that go to Universal Studios, I mean, the reason Universal Studios really, literally, the reason it's still open is the Harry Potter Land.
Yeah.
Which means 80% of the people walking into that park are walking directly to the Harry
That's
Potter
fair.
Part of
That's
the park.
That's fair.
I've been there where the queue for that, if you don't have the fast pass or whatever, is over 2 hours.
Oh.
Okay.
And so, the other thing... The downside of that Harry
fast
Potter
pass
ride...
Thing.
Well, the FastPass thing.
Because it's different between the two parks.
Yeah, and the FastPass... Anyway, so the other problem with the Harry Potter ride is it is amazing technology. It is, however, technology Disney turned down because it wasn't ready yet.
Mm.
Which means it breaks down all the time.
Okay.
We went twice, it broke down during one, was fine in the other. And that's two trips on the same day, 6 hours apart.
50% failure rate is not great.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is the greatest ride you'll ever go on.
Last question. Is that what you're going to ask?
Well, no, I was going to say, Matt, shit on Disney. What's bad about Disney?
Magic Kingdom has a couple things that I think are worth seeing for an adult with no kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or even for a kid who is kind of hip, like my son. Like, the... Space Mountain's still cool. Roller coasters in the dark are cool. They just are.
Space Mountain,
they're red. We did it twice. It was amazing. That's great. The Haunted Mansion.
I love the Haunted Mansion.
It is so good.
So good.
It is so fucking
good. I love it so
much. And it's that weird thing where, like, it's just not scary, and they just don't change it, and I would be really mad if they did.
It scared me so much as a kid.
As a kid, yes.
Kevin was, like, sobbing. He was, like, 7 we went. He was sobbing and crying. We all had to sing the Ghostbusters song to cheer him up.
No,
it was, yeah.
When we went this last time, we watched kids
Down and Out.
Oh, yeah, Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom was great. Yeah. I got the audiobook because it was free on iTunes from Code Dr. Yeah. But no, like Austin and I, when we went on this last time, kids bailed periodically. And, instead of getting on the ride.
Awesome. And I love watching kids cry.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
The queue for Haunted Mansion is spooky as hell.
That is actually a very, very good example of building you into the ride.
You get into the lobby room that takes you into the actual ride, and it's an elevator that doesn't feel like an elevator, and what it looks like is the paintings are stretching, and everything is creepy. It's very amazing.
That's great. The other one that I would say of the Magic Kingdom, my three are you do Space Mountain, you do the Haunted Mansion, you do the Jungle Cruise.
I don't understand
why you don't say Splash Mountain.
Because then
Splash
Mountain's
fine, but it's a flume ride.
The Jungle Ride.
Yeah, but it's the best flume ride ever.
Song,
I feel like it is probably.
Disagree.
Okay. Oh.
I strongly disagree.
It's the best
with Splash Mountain.
Yes. Why? Because in Splash Mountain, it's just one way down, but in like all the other ones, it's kind of more of a steep.
Mm.
There are three drops in Splash Mountain. What are you talking about?
Well, there's two false drops. You get the same thing
in
the Jurassic
Park
ride.
They're long drops.
No.
So I also really like the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. I'm not so sure that I'm not so sure Nick is going to be a fan of that because it is a lot of climbing and rope bridges and up in a tree. But the Tom Sawyer Adventure Island, I remember being fun, but I was
things
also
I loved
a kid.
As a kid.
So,
yeah, no, those are both things that I've done as a kid.
I could totally go through all the reasons why you're wrong about Magic Kingdom because it's my favorite of those parks. But
oh my god!
You're a Disney nerd.
But I would say the thing is, so I grew up on Disney. I mean, like that, like literally every 2 years.
I love the rides.
But I feel like at this point it boils down to those three.
Right. I love the rides that take you through the stories.
So
I
do. The new Snow White roller coaster is cool.
Yeah.
Very important question: is the Alien ride still at Epcot?
No.
What?
No. Yeah.
No.
The one with the push on your shoulders.
That is not
the alien
that's Magic
breath.
Kingdom.
That's Magic Kingdom.
Oh. Is it Magic Kingdom?
It is now
Tomorrowland.
It's now Stitch's Great Escape,
and
it's awful.
No.
It's just
good. So, okay.
Yeah, no.
That was amazing.
I remember that as a kid. That was
I'm making a serious stink face.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing.
Hey, kids, you ever shit your pants?
Right.
Not in a while.
Oh, my God. My dad was screaming like a little girl.
It was so good.
And, like, the guy next to me, when they did the thing with one of the voices, where the voice of the guy was like, looks like my mother-in-law ends up getting killed. This guy next to me goes, did they just kill a guy?
Yes, they did.
For me, it was
and
the part,
you get
the
splattered
breath.
With warm blood.
Yeah, the warm blood and the breath on your neck.
Oh my God, the way it would jump over you. Oh my God,
okay,
that was a good ride.
So, Molly is...
Extraterrestrial, I think.
Yeah.
Extraterrestrial.
I think that was the original ride.
Molly's super excited
about Epcot.
No, it wasn't
the original
ride.
I love the
Mission to Mars one. Yeah, that's what I fell asleep on
Why
as a baby.
Why should I give a fuck about Epcot? Nothing in my memory from going as a child
countries
sticks out
world.
In my mind.
Countries
honestly,
of the world.
The countries are only cool when you're an adult, and they're my favorite
I
part.
Love the countries.
Is there alcohol?
Yes. Yeah.
And as a kid, I loved
the Epcot drinking game.
No, I don't.
So
I've only been there when I was 13.
So I was such a weirdly adult little kid that the countries of the world was one of my favorite things because it was like international travel, and I felt so cosmopolitan.
No, it's what's the thing that they do at like the Civic Center once a year?
I know what you're talking about.
Festival of Nations.
I love that too.
It's just the Festival of Nations. All it is an excuse to eat like a greasy fried thing from around different places.
Except not greasy fried things is actually really good food.
And there's a thing. There's an attraction in each country.
There's
something.
Some have attractions,
but like
some
on
don't.
Some level, there's something. There's a movie or there's a
I guess
ride
by attraction,
a,
I mean a thing that attracts you to the place.
It's still like a big lake in the middle, and you walk around it.
Yep.
What's good about
it? Okay, let's talk about. Okay, there's two different things to talk about here. One is the Epcot drinking game. Let's just like I'm clearly the expert here.
Yeah,
Tim doesn't.
I'm not the expert.
Okay, two things. One, never ever start with Mexico. That's a fucking fool's errand, and that is the way that amateurs do this shit. You start with Canada, but. The Epcot drinking game is you work your way around the lagoon and you have a drink at every single country.
How many are there?
Let's see. If you go Mexico, 14. Norway, the outpost... Oh, no. Mexico, Norway, China, outpost, Germany, Italy, Greece, America, Japan, Morocco,
there's no Greece. There's
France.
No Greece.
Oh, no. Sorry. Not Greece. What's the one I'm thinking of?
No,
or is it just Italy?
What the fuck you're thinking about?
Sorry, it's the fucking statues. Sorry.
It's Italy.
Rome?
It's just Italy.
No, it's just Italy.
Oh, okay.
Morocco, Great Britain, France, Canada. And so you have your way to work around there. And most people will do the thing where they start in Mexico because you want to go get your margarita. terrible, terrible idea. Margarita, big drink, lots of ice, very filling.
Sour jubilee.
Yeah, terrible, terrible idea. And so what you do is you start Canada. You get yourself a beer, you go to France, you get yourself a glass of champagne, a glass of wine, very small. You go to England, you get yourself a Guinness, very thick, however, very light on calories.
Except you can't do that because Canada is, it's Canada to Great Britain, not Canada to France. I don't know what he's
saying. It's fine. Well, whatever. It's fine.
It's irrelevant. Yes, yes. Is it Great Britain? Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. The bridge is where, Canada, yeah, the bridge with the boat, yeah. But you work your way around that side. But if you do that, you get a lot of small drinks to get you like halfway around.
You can't get anything to drink in Morocco, right? I mean, they don't drink in Morocco.
Huh. Lies. They have delicious drinks in Morocco.
What? Yeah. They have booze in Morocco?
Yeah, the little cart right up front.
How the fuck do they do booze in Morocco?
I thought that was in America.
I know, but it's supposed to be representative of the country.
They have weird slushy things, and they're pretty good. All right. Yeah, it's all like right. Hibiscus stuff or something.
So other than the drinking game, what else?
So anyway, that's the thing. I'm just saying, if you decide to do that, which I've done a couple times.
Start Canada.
Always start Canada and go around. Counterclockwise, never go clockwise.
Anticlockwise.
Wittershins. Wittershins, yeah. do that. Oh, however, the other thing about the countries is, as you get a little older and you can actually appreciate that people do things differently than you, you will go, huh, yes, you're selling me like some trinkets and odds and bobkins, but you're also, you literally hired people from these countries to work every single position.
That's their, cool. their name, and everyone at Disney World, their name tag says where they're from.
Yes.
Which I also really love.
Even really?
The
whole,
yes.
Not even just Epcot.
In the whole park?
The whole, yep. The whole park, their name tag says where they're from. So, like,
so you know who to hate right off the bat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jersey.
Yeah.
No, that's,
like,
that's
but
cool.
Like, it's like, oh, cool, this is Annika, and she is from, you know, Sweden. Yeah.
So,
and
like, when I went and had dinner in, like, the fancy French restaurant, the one time I've done that, because there's just the little, there's the tiny place that just has amazing desserts in France, the gelato and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's the little deli one that we went to this time.
All that Papa. Famous French gelato?
Whatever. Yeah. But they have that and like eclairs and stuff. And then there's like the one that's like a deli. And it's that really hard bread. Yeah. And it's like ham and cheese and a bit of an attitude. And it is the best food you've ever had. Right. But then there's also the super fancy one where I went and had like rack of lamb and escargot and a bunch of other stuff.
And a lot of them have like
all those
movies.
People are from France. And they're like, and you're like, the what? And they go, what would you like? Yes.
They can't so smoke, good. So it's not super authentic.
I love the design of each one of them. Mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of these countries, so it's actually kind of cool.
Sure, which I've not. Yeah.
But even if you haven't, the design of them, there are people that are from those countries. They love to talk about their countries.
Oh, my God,
if you ask them questions. There is, it's just, each one of them feels a little bit different. Every single one of them has a show that happens that's from... Mm-hmm. their country, except I think Norway.
Like
Norway
has a movie. Dancing or...
Oh, no, Norway has the Flume Ride, which is their...
They have taiko drummers in Japan.
That are excellent.
You can hear from everywhere around the lake when they're
the
on.
The Chinese acrobats are the epitome of child endangerment, just like you'd expect.
Yeah. All right.
Like, there's a good, like, Celtic Scottish band that plays at Canada. There's street performers at both Italy and England.
Italy has the
Commedia.
Yeah, they've got Commedia.
Which is phenomenal.
And there's also Spaceship Earth, which is like was my favorite ride as a kid. And I know it's dumb, and it's
great.
I loved it. I loved the animatrons. I loved the whole like this is the history of the world, and then like what does the future hold? It's just
1985.
Like,
it's also, and I'm just gonna say this is. Me being lame, but I love the Finding Nemo ride in the Living Seas.
I have not seen this. Finding Seas Nemo. Like I haven't been since Finding Nemo. Came out.
Living Seas is cool because anything
Living
that lives underwater is neat because I don't get it.
Seas is cool.
Mic, but the other one too is currently Soarin' is being revamped.
Yeah, they're
check
adding
and see
another
if
ride.
That will be
Living Seas has a 10,000 under the 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride, or is that now Finding Nemo?
10,000 Leagues used to be in
10,000 Leagues used to be. It's gone. It's gone.
That was fun. Anyway, yes.
Epcot was the one, and then. What would be the other one?
We would go to Epcot, Magic Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios. That's what we would do.
And I would say pick two if you're lucky.
Pick two.
Because there's so much to do.
You know, what you could do is you could see if one of them is open late. If Magic Kingdom is open late, then that could be
Magic Kingdom is open late.
That's usually that could be your last stop.
Because they end every day with, like, fireworks and a parade
or
something,
The 8 or 10 is usually the thing. So pick a day where you can
One of them is open late. Like, my guess is we'd go from 1, we'd get there at 9, we'd do one from, like, you know, 9 to noon, we'd do another one from, like, 1 to 3, and we'd do another one from, like, 3 to 6 or whatever. We'd figure out,
You're talking about doing one or two things at each of that
point. Yeah.
No, we know.
If you prioritize and go, well, we want to make sure we see this, and this, you can do that. And this ties into the idea that we've hinted at a couple times. The FastPass program is very different. Disney's FastPass program, I think you can pick 3 per day now, and they're attached to your wristband.
But only in a single park.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Only in a single
and
park.
And they're attached to your wristband, which means you walk up and go whoop with your little thing, like your Fitbit, basically, that you wear to get into the park. That's your ticket. That's how you get on FastPass. And you pick those, you go up, and you tell, you have to say, we'll be there at X time, or we'll get this time, because based on what is available and sold out, those are the ones you can get.
Mm.
So, if you can plan your day where you go, we're going to go to this park and do all the most popular things as the first three things you do, and then haul ass to the next park, you could do pretty well.
Yeah, that's that's kind of what you need to do.
You pay money to do that, and fuck that.
Yeah.
I hate, I'm enough of a guy that's like, viva la proletariat, but like, the idea of paying to go on things faster than other people bothers
me. But the thing is,
me.
You pay for it, and it's good on every ride, all day.
And that I hate that idea. I just won't do it on principle.
Yeah.
So we're
adults who are good at planning a schedule. I feel like we could probably do the
and
thing.
And we
Disney
haven't got time on this thing, but I could sit down and map it out
of
to
course.
You.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There will be further real world conversations.
We'll keep you guys posted.
But here's,
on
the thing. Here's the thing. If you're going to do
and send Disney, photos.
If you're going to do Disney Fast Passes, I believe the availability opens up like 3 months in advance.
And you want to get them soon.
And you need to have your tickets purchased so you can do your Fast Passes the day
and get that goddamn Toy Story Fast.
We just got our tax refund. So the plan is to go ahead, and once we decide, that's why one of the reasons we want to talk today is we're going to decide in the next week or so and just pull the trigger.
And I realize that Nick hates fireworks, but I'm just going to go on record.
They're so good there.
I'm going to go on record as saying the fireworks at both Epcot and Magic Kingdom are my favorite fireworks.
I would say not Epcot. I would say
fireworks.
Spend your night at Fantasmic.
I love fireworks. It's colors, that's cool. I've done acid.
They do shapes.
That's awesome.
It's different.
I'm on the mixed side with this. I would say
if you're
going to watch a Disney show,
if you're going to
watch a Disney show, you go to Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios. They do a 7 and a 9.
Except they don't want to do that. They don't want that because you want to be able to get to from Epcot to Magic Kingdom. If Magic Kingdom's your last stop,
I would say you drop off Magic Kingdom. You do Epcot and Hollywood. Well, those would be my two.
If Magic Kingdom's going to be popular,
those would be my two. But I'm just saying, if you want a show at night that will fill you with awe and wonder, like just the scope of what they're doing on stage, that's the one to do.
It is so Fantasmic is great.
It is
I love Illuminations.
So, I love the old Illuminations. Current Illuminations, I hate.
Between the two parks, Tim, real quick.
Yeah.
One thing, just if you could do one thing at Disney, what was the one thing you'd do?
If I could do
one ride, one attraction, just one thing.
All right, and I'm gonna go with the parks that you are talking about. The Tower of Terror.
Matt?
Good call. That's a very good call. Yeah. Original Harry Potter ride.
All right. Austin?
I would have to go with original Harry Potter.
It's a great ride. I'm not going to deny it. It is a great ride.
Okay. Cool. All
right, so we've done our best to help you make your decision.
Or confuse
you
thoroughly.
No, I really appreciate you guys.
This is valuable.
This has been very helpful. Very helpful.
If you listeners have any thoughts on this subject, why would you? You're like, oh my God, I can't even believe these people like these things.
These snarky first world problem having bastards.
Because podcast listeners are like third world. Yeah, seriously. Okay. I'm sorry, yes, did you have something to add?
Yeah, if you like Men in Black at Universal Studios, if you are motion sickness, it spins like a motherfucker.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good to know. Because I really get motion sickness.
That is true,
because
honestly,
really.
You wouldn't know it going into it, but they have a point in that ride, because it's one of those ones where you have a light gun and you shoot at shit.
Yeah.
And you get to a point in the ride where they go, also you can get bonus points by shooting the little sensor that's above the cart of the person opposite you.
Oh, no.
And if you hit it, it makes their spin, making it harder for them to hit targets, or more likely to vomit. good action.
Thank you, Austin. That actually matters a lot to me, because that's the kind of thing they may not say when you go in.
Yeah, I absolutely. Didn't even remember that. Okay, so... Because
my parents are like, how do you have an order of magnitude more points than the rest of us? Because whenever we do those rides, they all have 20,000, 30,000 points, and I have 270. And they're like, how do you get to... What? And I go, well, you don't shoot the silly aliens. Those aren't worth a lot of points. You shoot the other cart.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Like, you didn't notice they were just spinning
don't
like
shoot
an
the actual enemies. Shoot other people.
Yeah. Like, you get way more points for just shooting the other tourists. And they're like,
yeah, why succeed on your own merits when you can step on someone else's hopes and dreams?
There's a ride like this. The Buzz Lightyear
so fun. It was down near there. It's technical problems. I was so sad.
The Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin is a ride where you shoot aliens.
Sure.
And, I've been on it so many times, I've actually found the one spot that you can shoot that you can get a million.
Nice.
So I can max out that
ride. Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome.
If I'm not steering, because if my child steers, then they always steer it. So I can't.
Why did I have you?
I'm like, this is the one target. This is the
place
target.
I'm cool.
But okay. It's a goddamn target.
Do the
target.
Points matter?
No, well, no, but they point them out. There's a board at the end to show you. Yeah.
Like, so they matter as much as your Xbox points.
Exactly. It is your EP.
They matter because when I get off that ride, I have to tell my wife that I beat her at the game.
Exactly. Otherwise, you have to beat her in private at home.
Oh, all right. Five questions. Matt, you have been on our podcast before, but not since we have added five new questions.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. And you probably listened, so you know what they are, and you're hopefully prepped. So... Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, what's question number one?
What is a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
The simple short answer here would be a movie that I'm willing to watch at any time, which is my favorite movie is John Carpenter's The Thing. That is just the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah.
It is unfortunately not a movie that's ever just on.
No.
But then again, because I don't have cable or something, nothing's ever just on.
This question really shows how old we are. Yeah. I just want to point that out.
The question could just as easily be, what's something you could watch anytime in the background or pay attention to?
The real answer there is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Awesome.
That's cool. Movie of all time. My favorite John Carpenter movie.
Awesome. So question. Austin. What's your
movie you'll just watch anytime, like a million times?
I would just probably watch Sharknado.
Sharknado!
Man, you're your father's son.
Good one.
I know, right?
Question two. What's an awesome movie. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
You know, I'm going to go with geekiest on this. It's not my most prized, because I'm not sure what that even is. But I would say my geekiest possession is, it's a Rennie answer, it's Catskills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That is to spend more on boots than I do on a car, but because I do that as part of my living, is so important to me, but it's such a nerd thing, and yet they're so great and worth it, but maybe only if you're a nerd. Like, I love having an amazing pair of boots, and I just got a new pair for next year.
Yeah.
And I have that new excitement all over again. It's just like, that's
you
so good.
You post them on Facebook, and my comment there is the same thing I'll say now. It's not just footwear, it's not just boots. It's a quality of life upgrade for eight weeks of your year.
It means that I won't be miserable by noon every time we go to
You won't have back problems, you'll be able to do everything you do out there, you'll be able to do better.
And I'll be warm and comfy.
And dry.
Yeah. It's so nice. Yeah.
What about you, Austin? What's your favorite thing?
I'll do geekest.
All right.
Yeah.
My geekest thing I have is probably Assassin's Creed Hidden Blade.
What? No. You have an Assassin's Creed Hidden Blade? That's so cool. I have a sweatshirt that has one drawn on. Yeah.
He's got the little spring activated.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
We love
those games. Yeah. Oh, and I've played all of them.
That is super geeky. Yeah. High five for that.
Very awesome.
All right. Question number three. What supernatural or fictional being do you wish was real?
Magical, whatever.
Magical.
Yeah.
Anything. Anything not real.
I think... God, that's tricky.
Did you stop listening to this podcast?
Depending on the guest, I pick it up sometimes because I'm busy. I don't listen to I don't have a job where I can listen to my iPod anymore.
I don't listen.
So I listen to
I don't listen to ours.
Once you know people too well, you stop caring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say for me the thing, and this might be a cheat, because I do think that the overwhelming probability is it's real aliens, but the idea that we would know or see or communicate with
them. They'd come here and
I would like to have the chance to have that become a thing that is part of our real day to day.
Yeah.
I don't think aliens are fictional, but I think it would be important that we would have the idea that there would be meaningful contact.
Even
if it's just by radio or whatever.
It doesn't
have to be like we all hang out and have our cool alien buddy like Futurama, but the idea of getting to the point where we literally get the chance to speak to someone who up until the point we make contact has entirely different experiences than us, because what the fuck does that look like?
A totally different cultural and technological exchange.
Yeah. Cool. So I would like that to be a reality, and currently that's just sci-fi.
I like that.
Austin, is there anything supernatural or magical you wish was real?
Yes. I would wish Harry Potter wands were real.
Yeah.
That's way more fun than
really
mine.
Good answer.
With Guardian Leviosa for the win.
Oh, God damn it. Okay. I wasn't selfish enough in mine. I should have said fucking Wolverine claws.
We had people say wizards.
For sure. That would be fun as hell.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Question number four is, say religion is gone.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Ego.
For individual
ego? Just the idea that I'm right and I can't listen to you because you're not saying what I'm saying. I think the idea that not being able to be humble enough to admit you're wrong causes a lot of our problems to either exist or be exacerbated.
All right.
What do you think?
What was the question?
So if there was no religion, what do you think would be a problem in the world?
A problem would be to actually, how would I put this in words?
It's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. So racism. Like racism would be a problem still? I think you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's
a really
good
answer.
A lot of people say, like, tribalism, like,
yeah,
humanity,
like
segmenting.
Us versus
them. Us versus them.
That fits
yeah.
into that.
Although I do think racism is partially driven by religion.
It can be,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a really good answer, Austin.
I was just glad you didn't say the Jews.
God damn it. Well, now
right.
he's gonna.
So question number 5. What is your favorite quote or saying? What's your favorite thing? What's your favorite
book
quote
or a movie yep. or whatever?
Yep.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Tom Waits.
Yep, that's good. I like that a lot. That's one of my, yeah.
Can you come back?
Yeah. Think about
that's
it.
The
let
last
us,
one.
Let us know if
yeah,
you have
yeah,
one.
That's the last
yeah.
one. So, yeah, we'll let you
if,
think about
it. Could
it
could be like something someone says in a movie or something from a book. Just a line. Just anything.
Okay. Then fuck a duck.
Fuck a duck.
All right.
That works for me.
That's really great.
And nobody is ever going to offer up a different quote ever again.
Yeah.
Austin just won favorite.
He won.
Yeah, that's
fantastic. We're retiring question
it's really
five.
It's a great curse. Like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck a duck.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. So, all right. If you have any thoughts that you would care to add to the whether or not, which park should Molly and Nick go to, Universal Studios or Disney World?
Oh, one more time. I have to hit the caveat. I hate that we're trying to say you have to pick.
I know.
Really think the
I
best,
know.
I get
but
the context.
We have to
yeah,
pick.
I get the context. But
yeah.
realistically, you, the listener, if you're planning a vacation, which some of my other podcast listeners have planned vacations and asked me for advice, my thing is always go do these things at all of these different parks. I never try to say pick one because it's so hard.
I tell you what, whichever one we don't do, we will go eventually. That's it's just that this
probably.
Is this is a unique opportunity that we have to.
But
see.
But yeah, don't feel like we're saying if they pick the one or the other one's bad.
Right.
They're just different. I love all my children.
I don't, but that's not the point. the point is that if you have thoughts on this debate for the ages, I hope you will share them in the comments on our website. Thank you so much.
Or
for
on Facebook.
Or on Facebook.
I'm there more often.
I should point out that we are on Stitcher now.
We are.
We are.
People
awesome.
Ask us if we would get ourselves onto Stitcher, and we have done that.
Yep.
So if you are looking for a different way to find our podcast, you can now do it that way.
Stitcher's
so.
A lot easier if you listen to podcasts on your phone, from
also,
my understanding, so that's awesome.
We've been asking you guys to rate us on iTunes, but if you actually write a review of us on iTunes, that's a good way to let us know what you like and what you don't like that we're doing.
For sure.
And, you know, maybe we'll do more or less of that, but no promises.
Yeah.
No promises.
And as of
this, you don't own us.
As of right now, we have no reviews on Stitcher. So if you
be the
use
first.
Stitcher, we'd love to...
Review the shit out of us on Stitcher.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much, Matt and Austin, or Aiden, whatever your name is. We really appreciate having you on the podcast.
I like Agamemnon.
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 Destroyer of things.
We have been Geeks Without God. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Hey, Nick and Molly, we just recorded a podcast. What are you going to do now?
Yeah, they're not here anymore.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And if you didn't laugh, 10 points to Slytherin.
Oh, damn!
Damn.